I'm going to read a couple of pages from my journal, and then we'll read from Vidagdha Madhava. February 1st, 3:50 p.m., free ride. I'm not reading enough to fill up the free ride talking to Krishna. Prabhupada once wrote to me, "Unless you read, how will you preach?" I had written asking him if it was all right to spend my day reading. He answered in the affirmative, "Read as much as possible. Whenever you get time, read my books." But note, he was saying, unless I read, I could not preach. It was assumed I should read and preach. I have just written myself into a corner by these sentences. Reading books is not enough. One has to preach. I make my plea that writing is preaching, and it is. I write to Krishna, others will read it. But sometimes you must speak. By writing and reading, I must come before you. I must wake up and make the transcendental sound vibration. If I am to be a transcendental poet, I must praise the qualities and forms and names and pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I want to be a transcendental poet. Krishna is all-powerful and all-sweet. Srimati Radharani, in her own way, is also all-powerful because she conquers Krishna, and she is most sweet because she attracts the all-sweet cowherd boy, Gopinath, who attracts all living beings with his flute. There is competition between Radha and Krishna in which neither admits defeat. I believe in their reality because I accept the words of their great devotees. I accept the words of Prabhupada and the line which he represents, including Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna himself. They have given me the proofs, the pramanas. They have given us Brahma Shabda, the descending process of authority of God and scriptures. This is the most superior pramana by which we know things that are otherwise impossible for us to know. And so I praise Krishna and Radha without embarrassment. I know they are not accepted by most of the world's population, but that does not disturb my faith. I should try to convince others of the truth of Radha and Krishna, but it may not be possible for so many. They are stuck in their own dogmatic conceptions and atheistic conclusions. Lord Chaitanya predicted that his name would be known in every town and village, and it is gradually coming to pass, but this is the age of Kali, and people are growing more demonic. It is hard to convince them to give up their sinful ways. It's a gradual process to get people to give up their sinful ways. But Prabhupada, when he came to America, he got people who were engaged in sinful activities to give up their sinful ways very quickly. That was partly because of their agyata sukrita, their previous pious activities which they had conducted even perhaps without their knowing it. They had done some good towards the devotees, so they had served the devotees. And it was due to Prabhupada's power, coming to the storefront and chanting Hare Krishna and speaking Bhagavad Gita as it is. So for others, it will have to be a very gradual process, and it may take many, many lifetimes. Otherwise, it's not hard to give up sinful activities. February 2nd, 4:45 a.m. Waking on 2:55 a.m., my evening was calm. On waking, I felt a little foggy headed. I began my rounds at 3:30 a.m. After two rounds, I grew very drowsy and went to bed. I slept for an hour and then tried to recover. but my counting was jumbled. It was a poor morning. Finally, I persisted and accumulated my numerical quota until it was time to go to the roof at 6:45 a.m. There I completed 16 rounds with the men while walking back and forth. February 2nd, 10 a.m. At the end of the third chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, a number of verses are quoted that state that the pure devotee is not interested in liberation. He simply wants to develop his faith and affection in the Supreme Lord and go on serving him life after life. This is the outstanding standard of pure devotional service. Don't we desire to join Krishna in his pastimes in the spiritual world? Not necessarily. The Mahabhagavat desires intense devotion to his worshipable deity. He desires to be with him in body, mind, and words, either in his mission in this world or in the paradise of eternal play in Goloka Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. The chanting of Hare Krishna is coming directly from Krishna Loka, but with chanting I have no connection. I am burning in this material world day and night without seeking to make the correction. So this is a verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and says that the names of Krishna are our direct connection to Radha and Krishna, but placing himself as a conditioned soul, he says that he's not making this correction. He's not making this connection. But actually, if we chant, it's none different than Radha and Krishna, and we'll be with them, we'll be serving them just by the chanting Golokera Premadana. The love of God, the prema, is coming in Harinam. It's not a material sound. It's coming from the spiritual world. It is Radha and Krishna. ten:40 a.m. free ride. A tiny spirit soul stands before Radha and Krishna and begs alms. He seeks entry into devotional service. Haven't some beggars perished while waiting for a handout? Sri Raghunath Das Goswami subsisted on the rotten rice grains left in the drain. Dhruva Maharaj subsisted only on air. We are not expected to perform such severe austerities nowadays. Take whatever simple cloth is available and do not eat sumptuously. This is the way of the sadhu. But his main point is not austerity, but devotion to God. He may accept material things in the service of Krishna. What am I asking, Krishna? Better health for better service? More confidence for lecturing on Krishna's glories, true renunciation so I will never again be tempted by sense gratification with women, breaking off all bad habits, keeping of the ability to speak with you in intimacy and sincerity. Dear Lord, give me speech to thank you and praise you. Let me render you menial service. Let me remain your active servant of a servant of your servant. I want to serve your lotus feet. I want you to rule me. You can treat my serious requests as jokes if you desire. You can treat me like a fool. You may let me go hungry and suffer pain. You are the boss and your word is final. From my side, I want to gain your darshan and be convinced more of your reality in my life. I want to understand how you rule the world and let the miscreants appear to go free. I do not need to see you crush them. I believe you are in control and dispense justice, but I want to see how you do all these things. Oh, what do I mean? I just want to be with you, you and Radharani. I want to be a sober, faithful devotee. I want to know a particle of devotional ecstasy. So we left off reading Vidagdha Madhava. Srimati Radharani is feeling so much ecstasy in getting to know Krishna as the person named Krishna, as the person who plays that flute which makes her mad with love for him, as the picture, as the person in the picture that she sees that Vishakha has drawn. And Krishna is yearning to meet the person named Radha. So reading aloud is a little tedious compared to a spontaneous speaker. But when you realize what we're doing, that we're hearing the words of Rupa Goswami being repeated, this is such a brilliant book. It just takes a little patience to listen to the printed word, which he's prepared so carefully for us in his form. And I don't think we'll be bored, but we can be in ecstasy. It's by hearing. Here's where we left off. Purnamasi was speaking and walking. Nandimukhi, Krishna is not far away. The mooing of his cows fills the southern sky. I will go for my bath. Purnamasi and Nandamukhi exit. Krishna enters. Krishna, anxious. From the moment that abode, splendid like new lightning, suddenly filled by eyes with wonder, my heart fell into a whirlpool of rapt meditation. Now my heart, like a yogini, has renounced all other happiness. Going ahead. I sent my friend to bring a Gunja necklace. Why does he delay? Carrying a necklace in his hand, Marumangal enters. Marumangal, why is my dear friend unhappy? So be it. In time I will know why. Walking, Marumangal sees Krishna and says to himself, looking at a vine blooming with many golden champak flowers, Krishna trembles. I think fair Radha, decorated with new kumkuma, is now pictured on the drawing paper of Krishna's mind. Marumangal approaches Krishna. Please take. He offers the garland to Krishna. Krishna, as if he had not heard. Her body is splendid like a budding Kitaki tree on a golden mountain. When will she become a lightning flash decorating the splendid monsoon cloud of my chest? Marumangal, aside. My guesses and speculations have now borne their fruit. Openly with a loud voice. Dear friend, why do you not see me even when I stand before you and call out to you? Krishna, concealing his emotions. Friend, entranced by the beauty of this flowering champak vine, I did not notice you. Marumangal, you speak the truth. Why were you looking at that winding champak vine? Krishna, friend, I cannot find where this winding vine starts. Marumangal, friend, for a moment, please stop this crookedness Speak plainly. Why is your heart now desolate like a desert? Krishna smiles. Friend, I have no garland. Madhu Mangal, you should say girl, not garland. Krishna, that is foolish suspicion. Madhu Mangal, in Sanskrit, you do not know that the peacock feather has fallen from your head. You do not see that the garland has fallen from your neck. O youthful elephant, playing in the groves of Vrindavan forest, these events are caused by the great power of the bumblebee eyes that have seen Radha. Krishna, aside, how did this rascal understand everything? Why try to fool him openly? What you say is true. As the full moon in the month of Jaistha fills the Ganga with violent waves, Radha has transformed my heart. Madhu Mangal, this girl now stands before your eyes. Krishna, indeed it is true. She has come because of Subal. Krishna becomes eager and anxious. Whenever I look at that girl with bimba fruit lips, that girl who the restless flowering vines of her eyebrows and with many restless sidelong glances in every direction teaches the graceful doe the art of casting waves of crooked glances, cruel and angry Kamadeva aims at me his peerless bow of flowers. Madhu Mangal, perhaps you two have seen each other before? Krishna, no, friend. Whenever the cooling and splendid moon of her face begins to walk on the pathway of my eyes, my mother, speaking millions of curses, stubbornly brings me home for supper. Madhu Mangal, friend, there are so many beautiful gopis. Why do you love only Radha with such fervor? Krishna, friend, uncommon sweetness resides within Radha. My dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is that since I have seen the beautiful lotus eyes of Srimati Radharani, I have developed a tendency to spit on the moon and the lotus flower. Madhu Mangal, when I first saw you, I could guess that you had fallen in love. Why do you say Radha is so beautiful? Krishna, friend, what you say is true. If you think about her, you will know something of her great glory. If great souls love a person, you should know that person is very glorious. The presence of black deer glorifies the place where they stay. Lalita, off stage. Friend, do you see the prince of the gopas? Krishna, friend, that's a girl's voice. Let's be quiet. Lalita and Vishakha enter. Lalita, look, by divine arrangement, Krishna stands before us. Let us go to him. They approach Krishna. Glory, glory to the bliss of Gokula. Krishna, friend, Lalita, I think you must have come to Vrindavan forest to pick many beautiful flower petals. Lalita, by saying pick instead of give, you hide the truth. You certainly already know. Please take this lotus petal. She places the love letter in Krishna's hand. Krishna aside. Heart, be peaceful. Be happy. I think this flower petal grew from the seed of your desire. Madhu Mangal. Lalita, what is the use of this leaf? Simply full of letters. Better you give us a leaf with sugar candy on it. Krishna, friend, please read the letter. This letter is a cup full of nectar for our ears. Madhu Mangal, friend, we have all seen the generosity of you cowherd men. However, because we were sumptuously fed by the wives of the yogic brahmanas, I will begin by offering respectful obeisances to the brahmanas. Madhu Mangal reads the letter. Quote, O dearly beautiful, the artistic loveliness of your picture is now impressed within my mind. Since you are now living within my mind, wherever I wish to run, because I am agitated by impressions of you, I find that you, O my friend, are blocking my way. Krishna. Friend, this verse is very difficult to understand. Please read it again. Madhumangal reads the letter again. Krishna becomes blissful and says to himself, saintly girls are afraid to break the rules of morality. I think her love must be very great. Excited, Krishna openly says, look, look. Accompanied by all my loving friends, following the cows and averse to hearing about women, I wander in the forest. These loose girls should not be allowed to pollute us. Quickly I will go and complain to the Gopa elders. With feigned indignation, Krishna quickly struts about. Madhumangal, concealing a smile. O crest jewel of the brahmacharis, think for a moment and defeat these foul-mouthed gopis with your words. Chase them away. I myself will tell Gokula's queen everything about these shameless girls. Madhumangal touches Krishna's hand for a moment. Surprised and bewildered, Lalita and Vishakha exchange glances. Krishna. Friend Vishakha, Radha has never seen me with her two eyes, and I have never seen her with my two eyes. What obstacle stands between us? I will follow you, but I think it must be some other boy that has captured her heart. Vishakha in Sanskrit. In the circle of Braja, who is great and powerful like you? With a small particle of your inconceivable power, you lifted Govardhan Hill. Then you lifted the great mountains that are the saintly gopis' hearts. O boy with lotus eyes, you are the person in this letter. From the top of the page, Madhumangal.
Madhumangal. Talkative girl, stop, stop. I myself saw how the cowherd men with their upraised sticks held up Govardhan Hill. Why do you praise my dear friend Krishna in this way? He did not hold up the hill alone. Krishna. Lalita, this is too much talking. Please stop. Lalita. Handsome one, you delight everyone in Gokul. Why must this one girl suffer because of you? Krishna. My companion Madhumangal does not tolerate any deviation from the path of piety, and Sri Dama, busily searching for my faults, does not even sleep. Cruel Kamsa harshly rules this country. O bewildered girl, in these circumstances, how is it possible for me to fearlessly make a pious and beautiful girl burn in flames of anguish? Lalita, indignant in Sanskrit. Our hearts are so polluted by miserable conditions that we are certainly going to Pluto's kingdom. Nevertheless, Krishna does not give up his beautiful loving smile, which is full of cheating tricks. O Srimati Radharani, you are very intelligent. How could you have developed such great loving affection for this deceitful devotee from the neighborhood of the cowherds? Lalita cries. Madhumangal. Bewildered, beautiful girl, Krishna is learned in all the scriptures. He is our friend and counselor. Why would he disobey the rules of morality? What is the use of all your words, words that are like crying in the forest? Vishakha, aside. This garland, Agunja, was worn by Radha. Now I will give it to Krishna. By observing his response, I will know his actual feelings toward Radha. Openly in Sanskrit. May this very beautiful red and black gunja necklace gracefully hang around your neck. She places the necklace around Krishna's neck. If the word saradhikeyam is divided, saradhikeyam, this ambiguous verse may also be translated as, may virtuous Radha, whose mouth chants the name Krishna and whose heart passionately loves you, hang around your neck like a gunja necklace. Krishna, smiling, he pretends to be angry. Although these gunja berries are very red, hard, and gracefully round, they are both crooked and unripe. I do not wish such a necklace. As if bewildered, Krishna removes the gunja necklace from his neck and offers it back to Lalita. This ambiguous verse may also be translated as, this garland is an ambiguous love message from some young girl. Although great love is intended, the words are harsh, and although they are very clever, the words are also crooked. I do not wish to accept such a message necklace. Visakha aside, Krishna's bewilderment is our good fortune. She covers the necklace with a cloth. Lalita. Destiny has shown us the unflinching celibacy of a snake who loves millions of gopis. We should both go and stop Radha, who has fallen in love with a very unsuitable boy. Visakha. Friend, what you say is right. Lalita. Visakha, take this gunja necklace to our dear friend and comfort her. I will explain everything to Purnamasi. Lalita and Visakha exit. Marumanga. This girl adores you. Why don't you adore her? You are building a staircase that leads up a mountain of regret. Krishna. Friend, what you say is true. It was not right to mock that girl. Marumanga. Look, two gopis walk on the pathway of our eyes. Krishna, with regret. Upon hearing of my cruelty, moon-faced Radha may establish some kind of tolerance in her grieved heart.
Tolerance. Tolerance.
But then she might turn against me. Or indeed, being fearful of the lusty desires invoked by the bow of formidable Cupid, she might even give up her life. Alas, I have foolishly uprooted the soft creeper of her desire just when it was ready to bear fruit. Madhumango. Now, what will be our shelter? Krishna. Friend, I do not see any shelter but writing an answer to that letter. Krishna. I'm sorry. Madhumango. What will we use to write our letter? Krishna. A letter scented with the roses, with roses, would bring her under my spell. Madhumango. Let us go to nearby Praskandana Tirtha, which is decorated with a great forest of roses. Krishna and Madhumango exit. Accompanied by Visakha, who is explaining everything, Radha enters. Radha, unhappy in Sanskrit. Desiring the happiness of his association and embraces, my dear friend, I disregarded even my superiors and relaxed my shyness and gravity before them. Furthermore, although you are my best friend, more dear to me than my own life, I have given you so much trouble. Indeed, I even put aside the vow of dedication to my husband, a vow kept by the most elevated women. Oh, alas! Although he is now neglecting me, I am so sinful that I am still living. Therefore, I must condemn my so-called patients. Visakha, respectfully. Friend, please be comforted. Be comforted. She places the gunja necklace to Radha's nose. Radhika, with understanding. Ah! In the beginning, it made me almost fall unconscious. Why does this wonderful necklace now revive me from that unconsciousness? Visakha gives the garland to Radha. Friend, the sandalwood paste from the flutist Krishna's forehead is a mystic jewel that draws people to it. Krishna's name is a mantra that brings people under its control. Krishna's flower garland is a potion that charms people's hearts. Who does not know the inconceivable power of these three things?
Radhika aside, Krishna, who has all these glorious virtues, neglects this body of mine, a body that is better off dead. Why do I shamelessly keep this body alive? I will drown it in the water of the Kaliya Lake. And she says openly, Vishakha, please tell my superiors that, desiring to worship the sun god, I went to Vadasaditya Tirtha. That's the hill where Madan Mohan temple is. Vishakha, my dear friend, well remember saintly Jatila's order, an order I now accept from you. Come, let us go. They begin to walk. Radhika, perplexed. Although Krishna neglects me, the hostile and unfulfillable hope to attain him burns in me still. Friend, the deep water of the Yamuna, who is the sister of the king of death, is my only shelter. Radhika, looking ahead, why did the sun suddenly set in the east before it is time? Vishakha, the sun didn't set. Look, the beautiful roses in Prashkanda Tirtha, roses dear to the sun god, are splendidly in bloom. Let us pick some to make rose water. Krishna and Madhu Mangal enter. Krishna, friend, these roses are thieves who have stolen their beauty from Radha's lips. Madhu Mangal, press the juice from these roses and write a reply to Radha's love letter. It would be a good idea to silence your cell phones when you come here, so we have to go through this. Krishna, trembling with wonder, this is not the valley of Mount Sumeru. Why do I see a golden splendor in every direction? Ah, the sound of many jeweled anklets makes me know that the goddess of beauty must have entered Vrindavan forest to enjoy many pastimes. Madhu Mangal, ah, now the deer places her foot in the trap. Krishna saying blissfully, O friend, you understand this very well. Let us hide behind this tree and hear what they say. They both stand behind the tree. Radhika, weeping, she rests her hand on Vishakha's shoulder. When you talk, you should remember this person. Vishakha, also weeping, friend, everyone says you are grave and patient and full of all virtues. Why are you so upset? Radhika, friend, this rogue has robbed all my virtues. In Sanskrit, his chest is a dam that stops the river of my patience. His face is a moon that withers the lotus flowers of my pious deeds. His arms are pillars in a yajna to drive away my perpetual shyness. Alas, friend, the crooked snake of his glance devours everything. Krishna, beloved, stunned by your sweetness, Krishna has also lost all his virtues. Radhika folds her hands in the direction of the sky and says, O Krishna, O killer of Putana, I was engaged in my own playful activities in my home, and because of my childish innocence, I did not know right from wrong. Therefore, is it good for you to have forced us into being so much attracted to you, and then to have neglected us? Now you are indifferent to us. Do you think that this is right? Krishna, beloved, who, desiring to remain alive, will ignore the medicinal vine that will cure his illness? Radhika sighs Friend, please wear my favorite necklace. Radha removes the necklace from her neck. Vishakha forcibly stops Radha and says, "Ah, why have you set me on fire in this way? I am only waiting for Lalita." Vishakha cries. Radhika says in Sanskrit, "My dear friend, if Krishna is unkind to me, there will be no need for you to cry, for it will not be due to any fault of yours. I shall then have to die, but afterwards, please do one thing for me. To observe my funeral ceremony, place my body with its arms embracing a tamal tree like creepers, so that I remain forever in Vrindavan undisturbed. That is my request."
You ended in the last
120, begin to top the page.
Radhika aside, passionate longings make me go quickly, openly. After worshipping the sun god, there is one more thing I wish to ask. After I've gone, please pick a flower for each time I have bathed here. She takes two or three steps in the direction of the holy Tirtha and again speak to herself. Alas, never again will I see Krishna, whose face is like the moon and who enchants the three worlds. Full of longing, she returns and openly says, "Be kind, be kind, show me his picture." Vishakha, "Friend, there is no paper here to draw a picture." Radhika, anxious, "Then I will make him appear in my meditation." Radha becomes wrapped in meditation. Krishna, "Friend, my ears have just drunk a sweet nectar they have never drunk before. Let us go before them." They both do that. Vishakha, seeing Krishna and Madhu Mangal, she becomes joyful and says with great respect, "Friend, by destiny your happy meditation has borne its fruit. Open your eyes at once." Radha slightly opens her eyes and becomes filled with wonder. Vishakha, "The boy for whose sake you fell into the devastation of love and for whose sake you made your delicate body burn in the flames of love, the boy who wears a new peacock feather crown, the playful boy who is a master of your life, stands before you." Radhika, "Oh, how sweet this dream is." Vishakha, "Oh, unbeliever, without sleep, you never dreamed like this before." Krishna, her eyes shooting flower arrow glances, her graceful motions like a graceful regal elephant's, her bimba fruit lips beautiful, and her thighs like banana trees, this girl defeats the sweetness of the lotus flowers. Radhika, her eyes dance in the form of Krishna, and she says to herself, "Oh, my heart, excellent, excellent. By good fortune, this moment has come." Krishna smiles. "Rascal Vishakha, I looked everywhere for you. Now by good fortune I see you. A girl who looks like you bewildered me and robbed me of my rare Rangana garland, an unripe Gunja necklace." Madhu Mangal, "Ah, take your Rangana garland from Radha's neck. I see it there." Krishna, "Friend, you know all about this." "Still, that was not very good advice. Even in a dream, I cannot remember the touch of such a beautiful girl." Radhika aside, "Although Krishna is jesting, I fear he tells the truth about me." Vishakha, laughing, "O great ocean into which the rivers of many beautiful girls flow, stop, stop. Even now I see the marks they left on your body." With waves of sidelong glances, you attract the gopis' passionate hearts and unblinking eyes. oh boy, anointed with sandalwood paste, on the pretext of decorating your body with peacock feathers and gunja necklaces, to attract the gopis and enjoy with them. Krishna, joyful to himself. When Srimati Radharani smiles, waves of joy overtake her cheeks, and her arched eyebrows dance like the bow of Cupid. Her glance is so enchanting that it is like a dancing bumblebee, moving unsteadily due to intoxication. That bee has bitten the whorl of my heart. Chitila, on stage. Granddaughter, Vishakha. Krishna, why has Jatila, pale with age, come here so unexpectedly? Jatila enters. Jatila, looking ahead, she says to herself, why is Krishna here? Openly. Vishakha, why did you forget the incense, sandalwood paste, and fragrances? Krishna sighed. Just as the Chakora bird is about to drink the moonlight, a mass of clouds covers the crescent moon. Openly. O wife of my mother's maternal uncle, I offer respect to you.
Jatila, charming boy, don't look at the young gopis with such crooked eyes. Madhumangala laughs. O lady, heart like Indra's thunderbolt, my dear friend's glance is always kind and gentle. It is you whose eyes are squinting. Therefore you should grant a benediction to yourself that your eyes may no longer squint. Jatila, O snake chasing young girls, why have you come here? Krishna, O noble lady, who would not be attracted by the wonderful beauty of these red roses? Jatila, noble Munkara told me Krishna was here, openly. Charming boy, please leave at once. Krishna, O talkative old lady, why are you so agitated? I will go when I wish. Jatila looks at Krishna with crooked eyes. Look here, filled with all the charm and sweetness in the world, is my beautiful young daughter-in-law. And there, O mischievous boy with dancing eyes, are you by her side. Why should I not be anxious? Krishna, needlessly suspicious old lady, don't talk like that. By listening to your daughter-in-law, I have only made her more and more respectable. Jatila, Vishakha, why are you here? Vishakha, noble lady, I saw a mischievous deer and became filled with wonder. Glances at a deer. Here the word kukumba may mean either deer or rake. Vishakha's words may therefore also be translated. I saw a mischievous rake and became filled with wonder. Glances at a deer. O merciless deer, abandoning your beautiful mate who loved you and stayed by your side, you now aimlessly wander, leaping and playing from forest to forest. These ambiguous words may also be translated, O merciless rake, abandoning your beautiful mate who loved you and stayed by your side, you now aimlessly wander, leaping and playing from forest to forest. Jatila, foolish, whimsical girl, give up this infatuation with the deer. Madhumangala, dear friend, look, a thirsty young parrot will not touch that sweet pomegranate. Krishna, smiling, O pomegranate fruit, this parrot, his heart struck by your beautiful redness, wonders, is this fruit ripe or not? That is why he stands aloof. In his commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that Krishna here compares himself to the parrot and Radha to the pomegranate. Krishna wonders whether Sri Radha's ecstatic love is now ripe. Vishakha casts a crooked glance at Radha. Radha aside. O heart, be still, be still. She secretly laments in Sanskrit. I have not yet drunk the nectar of Krishna's words, and I have not yet glanced at his face from the corners of my eyes. O my friend, after a long time, I have finally had this chance to enjoy pastimes with Krishna. But now, alas, wicked fate, using this old lady as its tool, stands in my way. Jatila, aside, how glorious is the sight of Krishna! It is not a calamity that my daughter-in-law is in Krishna's company. Vishaka, look, the afternoon is ending. Let us hurry to the sun god's temple. The three gopis exit. Krishna, friend, this girl is like moonlight that follows the full moon of Purnamasi. Let us go to Purnamasi. Krishna and Madhu Mangal exit. Thus ends Act 2.
Okay.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Act 3, Radha Sangha, the meeting with Radha. Followed by Lalita, Purnamasi enters. Purnamasi, child, it is because of me that embarrassed Krishna does not welcome your friend's company. Lalita, noble lady, the inscrutable hearts of great souls are not at once revealed. Purnamasi, looking ahead, child, look, there in that Kadamba grove, Krishna is very happy with Madhu Mangal. Looking at Krishna, the flute of Krishna's pastimes measures 3 fingers in length, and it is bedecked with Inda Nila gems. At the end of the flute are Aruni gems, rubies, glittering beautifully, and in between the flute is plated with gold and set ablaze by diamonds. This auspicious flute, pleasing to Krishna, is glittering in his hand with transcendental brilliance. As described, Krishna enters. Krishna, regretfully, the edge of her garment held by a smiling friend, embarrassed Radha is now adverse to me. Alas, will Radha never be tightly held in my arms? Sighs, friend, Madhu Mangal, the blossoming flower of Kanjana-eyed Radha's pastimes has kidnapped the bumblebee of my heart with longing. Radha once said in the following words, O friend, my favorite pearl necklace has broken, and now I must search for the scattered pearls. Using this trick, she affectionately glanced at me from the corner of her charmingly bewildered, beautiful eyes, even in the presence of her elders. Purnamasi. She sees Krishna from a distance and says apprehensively, Krishna's agitated eyes move to and fro, and his sighs wilt his jasmine garland. Who is the fortunate girl that makes him always think of her? How can there be any doubt, children? Radha is the cause of this. Krishna, seeing Purnamasi, he approaches. Noble lady, I offer respects to you. Purnamasi, lover, I bless you that you will not lust after the gopi's breasts. If Purnamasi's ambiguous statement, Alampati Bhava, is divided into Alampati Bhava, it means, I bless you that you will become like a bodhis, tightly embracing the gopi's breasts. Krishna, sighing, slightly laughing, please don't give me these useless benedictions. With the budding twig of my hand, I have not even so much as touched the dark vine that is this famous gopi. Madhu Mangal laughing. Master, we are looking for a golden vine. What is a dark vine to us?
Purnamasi, with a playful, joking smile. Krishna, you are the saintly son of the Gopas king, and your hundreds of pastimes and the power of your arms are all well known in Vraja. Why do you trouble this saintly girl, Radha? Madhavangala. Contrary, old lady, stop, stop. It is my dear friend who is troubled by your Radha, so troubled that he does not know where he has lost his crown, his buffalo horn, stick, and other things. Krishna, embarrassed. Noble lady, this talkative boy is lying. I will tell you the truth. My heart does not love your gopis. Ask Madhavangala. Madhavangala. Noble lady, it's true, it's true. I never saw your gopis' limbs anointed with kumkum over my dear friend's heart. On the contrary, it is the gopis' kumkum that is placed over his heart. In brackets. Here, Krishna says, the love, Radha, of my heart, Chitta, does not rest in the gopis. Interpreting the word raga to mean kumkum, Madhavangala affirms that the kumkum raga over Krishna's heart never rests on the gopis' bodies. Krishna, affectionately angry, fool, you are pathetic. Though you are my close friend, you will not stop lying. Purnavasi, the boy tells the truth. You are full of splendor and greatness. You are the resting place of the circle of spiritual virtues. You are full of all wonders. You are the home of all auspiciousness and all splendid handsomeness. O Krishna, when you play the flute, your music loosens the garments of the doe-eyed gopis even while they stay in their homes. Madhavangala. Noble lady, you have only told of his flute-playing pastimes. He did many other things you don't know. This very day, I saw him take from the Yamuna shore and throw over his shoulder the garments of many girls. Krishna, knitting his eyebrow, he checks Madhavangala. Noble lady, even though the sound of my flute is charming like that, your gopis remain gloriously chaste. Lalita, in Sanskrit. Some king of rogues must have given you a mantra or a portion that brings others under your control. That is how you broke to pieces the sacred, splendid household happiness of the Gopas' playful wives. Madhavangala. Lalita speaks the truth. Without the ability to chant powerful mantras, how could Krishna, by nature more mild and cooling than a fresh lotus flower, embarrass so many demons as tall as great mountains? Lalita. O gentle one, remembering him makes us burn like fire. Please don't tell us how cooling your friend is. Madhavangala. Friend, although you are cooling, the gopis say you are very hot. By touching you, I will see if this is true. Madhavangala respectfully places his hands on Krishna's chest. Aha! Lalita speaks the truth. Madhavangala reflects for a moment. Lalita, I understand. Your Radha is hot. Entering his heart, she has made Krishna, who is more cooling as millions of moons, hot also.
Srimati can read.
Lalita, said Vibhavana, how could my friend, a delicate nature overwhelmed with limitless love, enter your friend's heart, which is hard like a diamond? Madhavangala, angry. Fickle girl, my friend is overcome with love for your friend. Cheating sleep by the king of yogis, he always meditates on her. Krishna, turning his face away with embarrassment. Fool, stop these lying jokes. Lalita aside, my dear friend is fortunate. Purnamasi, handsome boy, stop these jokes, hear what I say. O Lord Krishna, you are just like an ocean. The river of Srimati Radharani has reached you from a long distance, leaving far behind the tree of her husband, breaking through the bridge of social convention, and forcibly crossing the hills of all the relatives. Coming here because of fresh feelings of love for you, that river has now received your shelter, but now you are trying to turn her back by the waves of unfavorable words. How is it that you are spreading this attitude? Madamanga. O Purnamasi, your intelligence is pure. Why do you ask such a question? Look, I have made a bow of flowers to frighten away those horrible cuckoo birds. Purnamasi. O boy with a face like the moon, seeing her friends carefully guarding the door and smelling the fragrance of Madhavi flowers, this girl trembles in fear. On her porch, seeing a Chandrakanta jewel beginning to melt, this doe-eyed girl falls unconscious. In brackets, the Chandrakanta jewel melts when exposed to moonlight. Seeing the moon and smelling the Madhavi flowers, Radha is reminded of Krishna. Frustrated because she cannot go to him, she falls unconscious. Krishna aside, ah, it must be very painful for her. Purnamasi, handsome boy, neglect of another's love brings very bitter results. Look, setting on the horizon, the red sun now plunges everything in the darkness. Ashamed, Krishna bows his head. Purnamasi, again glancing at Krishna, she becomes very happy and says to herself, fortunately Krishna's eyes are smiling and his right eye is winking. Openly, O bliss of Gokul, now that the sun has set, please decorate this mango grove. One of my friends will bring you to the right place. Krishna, embarrassed, as the noble lady says, accompanied by his friend, he exits. Purnamasi, daughter Lalita, now I am happy. Come, let us go to Radha. They both exit. Conversing with Vishaka, Radha enters. Radhika, friend, although I have drunk the coconut nectar of Krishna's conversation, nectar mixed with the camphor of his smile, because I have not also drunk the nectar that touched his body, and now broken and withered, as if I had drunk poison. Vishaka, O girl, who does not know your own glory, even though your love for him has made Krishna fall passionately in love with you, you still worry that you are wretched and fallen. Radhika, again and in Sanskrit, tonight the wild elephant of passionate desire uproots and tramples the lotus flowers of my hopes. Alas, alas, O friend, will this wretched girl become happy when the red sun finally sets? Purnamasi, seeing Radha before her, daughter Lalita, I am eager to make your friend describe her love. Please be silent. Lalita, as you order, so it will be. Purnamasi, approaching Radha, she says with feigned unhappiness, O girl with beautiful eyes, with sweet words, Krishna again and again begs for the touch of your body. He knows that no other medicine will cure the fever that burns in his heart. Radhika, embarrassed, why should I be shy? She folds her hands. If it is licked by a blazing forest fire that also licks the clouds, what can save a delicate Vangana vine but the sudden appearance of a dark rain cloud? Purnamasi, why do you, who are only Jarati's grandmother, yearn to attain a person who is very difficult to attain? A person whose lotus feet the goddess of fortune personally messages. Be peaceful. Listen to my words. Don't become like a curious child who wants to grasp the moon that moves in the sky. Radhika, her voice choked with emotion, she says in Sanskrit, affectionate friend, on your repeated request, I will give up my love for Krishna, but please give me a blessing. Bless me that I will become a bumblebee, attracted at sunset by the fragrance of a forest flower diamond. In brackets, in this verse, Radha hints that she is about to commit suicide because her love for Krishna is frustrated. Vishakha, noble lady, please rescue Radha. Please rescue her. Her eyes are wide open and her condition is very frightening. Purnamasi, agitated. Alas, alas, the black snake of calamity is forcibly dragging this girl away. She mercifully embraces Radha. Child, be peaceful. Be peaceful. You are overcome with love. Please listen. Yearning for a moment's glimpse of you, Shiva and the other limitlessly powerful masterful of the worlds perform severe austerities. Ah, how can I properly praise the results of your past pious deeds? Oh, beautiful, slender girl, thirsting to see you, Lord Krishna has become withered and pale. Lalita in Sanskrit. His flute is now garlanded with songs of your pastimes. All his activities are making ornaments for you. For him, your names are very sweet and fragrant. Or rather, Krishna sees you in every flowering vine in the Vrindavan forest. Radhika, becoming calm, she says to herself, fickle mind, even now you do not believe this. Purnamasi, daughter Lalita, you are very intelligent. When Vishakha brings Krishna under the mango tree, please hide Radha in the Kanikara grove apart from the other gopis. Now I should go to do my duties. Purnamasi, Radhika, and Lalita exit.
Stop. All right. We'll continue tomorrow.